There are a myriad of causes for depression: genetic, developmental, environmental, physical and psychological. And then there's the interplay between them all. But what if you found out that this overwhelming array could be simplified into just 10 hits, and that at least half of those hits are within your control? Ready for the truth? Stay tuned. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. I'm Dr. Nerida. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Did you know that if you have 4 of the 10 hits, you're likely to develop depression? At least that's what Dr. Nedley says, and he's helped hundreds of depressed people identify their hits. Then they've turned their lives around. So what's it like living with depression? Meet Joseph.
That was one side of my life. The other side of my life was a very successful military officer. I was very successful at what I did. I was good at what I did. And had a lot of success, but things began to go downhill, and I began to notice that I was becoming much more bitter about things that I hadn't been bitter about before. I began to dislike myself even more, and I remember laying in bed at night just wishing that all of this would go away, would stop, that I could sleep. I wish that I could get along with people, and many times I would lay in bed and cry and want it to go away, disappear, and praying to God that something would happen that would solve this, that would make it stop. My bitterness began to fester to the point where I decided it was time to leave the military. I left on good terms and retired, and I had a lot of great friends, and I still to this day miss those people. They're fantastic people. And so the burden of learning became very difficult, and as a result of not being able to retain this stuff, your performance isn't where it should be, and as a result of when you're a type A person like I am, and I found that to be difficult for me, and I was okay, but I was not happy with my performance, and so I began even more to dislike myself, and to the point that I thought that I could not get any lower. I just had very, very low self-esteem. Just swimming at the bottom of the ocean. I just felt worthless. I didn't feel that I had any value. And as a result, I began to find fault with everything, and life went from a mediocre experience to one of total unhappiness. Looking at a guy that was blessed with two parents that loved me beyond measure, sacrificed everything they had a good education, a phenomenal military career, phenomenal friends, and I'm out there doing what I love to do, which is to fly airplanes, and I'm making a living to doing it. So there was absolutely no reason for me to be this way, and I felt like a bad person. Not only did I no longer like myself, now I become a bad person because I'm not appreciating the infinite blessings that I have. When you get that way, your eyes are on yourself. It's always about me. Somebody's doing something to me. It's not my fault. You're the problem. It's, you know, the issue. Your eyes are on yourself. And of course, I did not know that at the time. It's something that I learned.
It's pretty tough living with depression on a daily basis. Joining us now in our studio in Loma Linda is Dr. Neil Nedley, internal medicine physician and author of several books, including Depression, The Way Out. Dr. Nedley, that was a great story. Now, Joseph came into your program.
Correct.
Yeah, when we talked about the 10 hits on our previous show.
Yes.
Which hit was really major for Joseph?
Well, nutrition hit was a very major hit for Joseph. Now, he had other hits too. Remember, it takes at least 4.
Right.
But one of the groundbreaking effects that he's noticed is when he changed his nutrition, how much better his brain got.
Is that right?
And how much better it was able to even focus. You know, one of the reasons why he had dropped out of being a pilot was he recognized he no longer had that mental ability with the depression. Mm-hmm. But when he's on the right nutrition, he notices a concentration and acuity level that that made previously complex tasks much more simple. And he was able to pick up his piloting and go without a hitch, you know, after he endorsed the program.
That's powerful. So any particular foods that we should avoid for the brain?
Well, there are foods to avoid. Meat in general, high in protein, high in fat, virtually no carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. We need to have carbohydrates in order for the brain to optimally function. Also, it has too many of the competitors against tyrosine and tryptophan to get those into the brain. And that should be avoided.
Right. So tryptophan and tyrosine are amino acids that we really need in the brain.
Correct.
But we need them to come along with a good mix of foods.
With a good mix of particularly carbohydrates and less of the protein competitors out there. And then, of course, another food, the foods that should be avoided are the ones with caffeine. You know, sometimes they're putting caffeine not just in beverages now, they're sticking it into foods.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously.
So what sort of foods do we need to watch?
Oh, well, I mean, it's usually the dessert or those type of quick fix type foods that they're putting caffeine in them.
Wow. So we need to think about the caffeine that might be even in the high energy drinks, which are loaded, aren't they?
Yes, they are loaded. And then, of course, staying away from the sugary foods. Sugary foods actually do improve serotonin levels transiently, but then they drop them more in the long term. And so staying away from the sodas and the other high sweet foods.
And are there particular nutrients that we really need to focus on if our brain is challenged, if we have mental health issues?
Well, yes, we do need to focus in on omega-3. We need to focus in on tryptophan, tyrosine. The foods that are high in those are going to be like almonds. Spinach is a good source, flax, chia seeds, spirulina, pumpkin seeds. Even sesame seeds are quite good. One of the advantages of hummus, you know, or tahini can have good sources of tyrosine and tryptophan as well.
Wow. So these are pretty basic foods. They're not going to cost a lot.
That's right.
They're readily available.
Yes.
And they're good for our brain.
And they're good for our brain. Yeah.
Now, I noticed you didn't mention fish when you were mentioning the omega-3s. Why is that particularly an issue?
Well, first of all, not all fish are high in omega-3. Most fish are not, actually, so you have to be careful there. But secondly, because even fish that are high in omega-3 are toxin-laden. You know, 100 years ago, fish was a great way to get your omega-3 because the waters were not toxic, per se. But now with mercury and pesticides and things of that nature in there, we really need to avoid the most toxic-laden portion of our diet, and that is fish.
Right. And those you think mercury, that really does get into the brain quite readily.
It does. Yeah, it does. And it has its adverse effect. And so, and it's very clear, if you want to measure someone's body mercury level, you can predict it with high degrees of certainty based on how much fish they're consuming and how often. It's just very much related to that.
Now, if we don't have depression,
does
this kind of diet that you're recommending actually make a good brain better?
It does. Yes, it does make a good brain better. That's a great way of putting it. It actually helps our brain to have a greater capacity to learn, retain, and apply knowledge. And it also helps our brain to stay calm under stressful situations. And it helps our mood to be elevated even when most people would be down, so to speak. So it's very much a mood-stabilizing diet.
So it sounds like a good, healthy diet is actually going to raise your IQ and your EQ.
And your EQ.
Your emotional quotient.
That's
is
right.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. This sounds great. So is there a particular dietary pattern? You know, I think of vegan, the total plant-based diet, or strict vegetarian, lacto-ovo-vegetarian. They call it vegetarians if they eat fish but no other meats. or a non-vegetarian diet, which one is the best for the brain?
Well, it's, you know, the closer we move to the plant-based total, the better off we're going to be. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say those other diets, you know, are bad in general, because every one of those diets is going to be better than what the typical American is consuming, and they're going to produce some benefit there. But I like to look at it as good, better, best. Those are good diets. But as far as the ideal diet, it would be a plant-based that has sufficient B12 in it, sufficient omega-3, sufficient sources of calcium and tryptophan, and also making sure we're getting enough vitamin D. We haven't mentioned that, but vitamin D, if you're not getting it from the sun, you may need to supplement. That can also improve the mental health as well.
All right. So top sources for tryptophan?
Top sources of tryptophan, tofu. Yeah. Is a good source. Actually, wheat, a gluten, wheat meat, for instance, is a concentrated source of tryptophan. Pumpkin seeds, almonds, those are great sources of tryptophan. Mm. Actually, chia is not a bad source of tryptophan. Chia is up there in the top 10 sources of tryptophan.
Great. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, as ever, good nutrition is a major key to health, even brain health. Good, better, or best, the choice is yours. There's still lots to cover with Dr. Nedley. When we come back from the break, we'll have a delicious sweet treat for you. Don't miss it.
When I read through The Great Hope, I came across a comment that gave me great hope. The comment is from Tyndale to the papacy, and this is what he says. Do you know who taught the eagles to find their prey? Well, that same God teaches his hungry children to find their Father in his Word. And I thought, isn't that the truth? The reformers, from studying Scripture, got the strength and the courage that they needed to face all the trials, tribulation, and persecution that came their way. And for me, that is a great hope, because in studying the Word of God, I can get to know my Father, and I can also have the strength and courage to face the trials that come down the road in my life.
Today on Go Healthy, we're talking about depression. And here in the kitchen, we need to think about food. Now, serotonin gets kicked out when we eat chocolate, and so we start to crave chocolate to give us that gift, little lift. And so joining us now, Phil's got something that's going to replace chocolate. Hi, Phil.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What have we got today?
Well, I've got a recipe that will lift our spirits.
Excellent.
It's going to be healthy. We're going to get a little bit sticky and have some fun in the process while we make these, but we're going to be making carob truffles.
Mmm, sounds good.
It's
what
terrific.
Goes in there?
Basically, we're going to be using half a cup of honey, a quarter cup of carob powder, a cup of nut butter, half a cup of flaxseed ground, 1 cup of chopped nuts, and sesame seeds or coconut for rolling the truffles in.
Well, that sounds easy. What do you want me to do?
That's it. Well, if you could chop our nuts here, I'm going to be mixing the honey and the nut butter. And basically, I want our viewers to use whatever your favorite nut butter is. I happen to love almonds. I've always liked almonds, and so I tend to reach for that.
Yeah, but I like to switch it up. I like sesame butter or cashew butter, preferably not peanut butter because of the saturated fat, but
that's
all those
it.
Others are going to be good for the brain.
And there are so many that are just, they're processed. You want to kind of avoid a lot of those that you're going to get on most of our grocery shelves. So I just mixed that up, and I'm adding the carob.
It flies around a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. So you want to be a little bit careful while you're mixing this up, just so that it doesn't get everywhere.
Yeah, we challenge
Which
you
I just
by
did.
Giving you challenge you by giving you a nice white table to work on.
This is a great recipe with kids especially because they can have a lot of fun with it. I'm a kid at heart. I like to get messy when I'm cooking and certainly mixing things up.
You see how that walnut looks like a brain?
Yes.
That's because it's really good for the brain.
So that's how you know when it looks like the brain.
Well, sometimes.
Now I'm adding in our flaxseed as well.
All right. So you ready for these too?
I'm ready for those. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah. Actually, I'll put it on here and then I won't be making a mess like others.
It isn't cooking if you don't make a mess.
Well, this is true. This is true. So flaxseed are going to give us those omega-3s, as are the walnuts. And then you've got almonds, so all those good, healthy fats. And the brain really likes good, healthy fats. Doesn't like cholesterol. And there's no cholesterol in these, unlike what you might find in chocolate.
No, and I was going to say, you touched on why to use carob powder.
Oh, carob is it's naturally sweet, it's easy to use, it's not expensive. So, you know, because it's naturally sweet, you're not throwing extra sugar in. And it looks like chocolate.
And, you know, a lot of viewers get scared of carob because of what they've heard, it's not chocolate. But I actually dare you. I've tried this on some friends and tried some recipes with carob, and nobody notices.
Is that right? Woo. I want an invitation to Phil's house.
You never know what you're going to eat, but it's going to be good.
Absolutely. That looks perfect.
Yes. So basically, we've mixed all of our ingredients together. We took the nuts that were chopped. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to roll them out. Now's the extra fun part.
Right.
Because we get our hands involved and we get messy.
Woohoo. I'm going to join you. Oh, that looks like so much fun.
And it's very simple. You just take it in your hands, roll it just a little bit softly. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, or like you're doing, you just dip it in your favorite.
Oh, that's so easy. And you can make them any size that you want.
That's exactly right.
And then refrigerate them.
And then you've got something that is going to be very tasty. It's a terrific, I'll make mine a little bit more of a ball. It's a terrific treat. And certainly if you have people over, it's a great thing for them to grab.
Do you want to wipe your hands there before we start our party? Here's to feeling good on the inside.
Exactly.
Now, do you want coconut, sesame, or carob?
Coconut is always my favorite.
So oh, me too. Well, I'm going to go for sesame. We've got to try this. Isn't that good?
It's delicious. Mm. And it fixes that chocolate craving.
It does. It really does. And these are great refrigerated. I imagine they go nice and firm. And
they solidify, they stick together.
Now, this, by the way, is organic white grape juice. And isn't it outstanding?
It's terrific for a decadent dessert.
Oh, definitely. Now, last time, we heard about Mackenzie's story. Her boyfriend had left her alone in a coma at the hospital in Mexico. Take a look at what happens next.
I was still in Mexico, and luckily there was a lady at my church who had a passport. My parents didn't have passports, so they weren't able to come get me. They literally took the IVs out of my arm, and I drove to the airport, and on my way to California for the program, and I ended up passing out because I was so weak. The Mexican authorities weren't even going to let me on the plane. Because I wasn't able to stand or take care of myself, they didn't feel like it was a safe, you know, safe place for me to be flying. I was able to get into the program, but even when I got to the airport, we had some issues. My aunt picked me up. We actually got lost on the way to the program. I didn't have clothes. It all just was definitely a roadblock, but God definitely opened the doors and it all fell together perfectly, and I was able to get into the program. You know, I felt helpless. I was very suicidal. I'd just gotten from Mexico, my lowest point, and truthfully, I didn't think that this program was going to be able to help me because nothing else had helped me. My medications hadn't helped me, my counseling, everything that I'd been through didn't help.
She's made two attempts to take her own life. Now she's on her own at an inpatient facility. Tomorrow we'll see if she tries again. Now it's back to California to learn more about nutrition and the brain from Dr. Nedley. Dr. Nedley, you have this residential program specifically for depression. Mm-hmm. Tell us just a little bit about it, because we see Mackenzie and Joseph coming through this program.
Correct. Yes, we hold the program now at Weimar Center of Health and Education, which is just right outside of Sacramento in the foothills of the Sierras. Mm. Beautiful place to hold it. But in that program, we have all of that structure in regards to the things that are going to help the brain and reverse the things that have caused depression in them.
Mm. And I guess by being residential, you get to control the nutrition for those.
Exactly.
How long do people stay?
They stay there for 10 full days.
Okay, so for those 10 days, they're on the best nutrition.
They're on the best nutrition.
What about exercise? Is exercise important?
Exercise is a vital, important role. You know, in regards to Mackenzie, she got on more exercise in this program than she ever did in Cancun or the places where she's at. And that's a crucial start. You know, right. It really helps the brain to get more function, more circulation, more activity. It does improve serotonin levels. And so in Mackenzie's case, we had her exercising 3 hours a day, not all at once, but that was part of the structure, and it was a crucial role in her improvement.
Hmm. Does everyone in the program do 3 hours a day?
Not
everyone. Just because she was young and obviously in a very critical point.
She was in a critical point, and she also had the lifestyle hit. Now, you know, we take a look at each individual's hit list, the things that are active in them, and since lifestyle was an active component in her, and because of what she came from. Mm. She got on the max. I don't think we'd necessarily do more than 3 hours, but she got on the maximum amount of exercise that that we do in the program.
Mm. And so why does exercise help the brain so much?
Well, it does improve circulation, and also if we keep it in their aerobic phase of metabolism, which means that we don't overdo it. This is where, you know, some people, when they try to get fit, they overdo it, and then they have this deep muscle soreness. That's actually an adverse effect on the brain. And so we structure an exercise program that even though they're exercising 3 hours, they're not going to have the deep muscle soreness. And it actually is going to improve both serotonin levels and norepinephrine levels in the brain. And to some extent, particularly if you're exercising at Weimar, one of the Weimar advantages, you get a little dopamine there too, because you get places where you can see these beautiful snow-capped Sierras and these beautiful tall evergreen trees. And so you get a little dopamine during your exercise session.
So seeing beauty actually stimulates happy hormones in our brains.
It does, yes.
And so it's much better to exercise outdoors.
It is.
Than in a gym.
Than in a gym, no question about it. Studies have shown that when we exercise in green spaces, particularly that have the negative ions of this nice fresh air, which Weimar is plentiful in because evergreen trees produce this stuff.
Oh, right.
And so with those beautiful evergreen trees, it does start to clear up the mind.
Hmm. So it's not the issue of no pain, no gain. In fact, if there is pain, you may have not exercised correctly. So what particular way do you exercise? Is there a particular type of exercise that's good for the brain?
Well, we call it IT, intermittent training. And that's where we combine vigorous exercise with rest or less vigorous exercise. And so they're exercising about a minute at a time, and then they're backing off for about 30 seconds or 45 seconds. And so they alternate back and forth. That's been shown to be very helpful for the brain.
Hmm.
Aerobic exercise in general is very helpful as well. And so things like brisk walking, you know, swimming, you know, bicycling, in general, repetitive types of more fitness exercises, as long as it's not overdone, is quite healthy for the brain.
Hmm. And how much activity is needed to combat depression? You mentioned with Mackenzie being quite severe, it was 3 hours, but a typical?
Typical individual, 60 minutes is what we're going to recommend, kind of minimum if they have depression.
Every day of the week?
Every day of the week is best. We do allow for one day possibly not having it, but we recommend 6 days a week as a bare minimum, and it's not bad to do it all seven.
Right. Now, all 60 minutes at once? Or can you break that up? How small?
You can break it up. You know, if someone's not very fit, it might be best to break it up. But it also might be best, if you are fit, to get it all done at once, because once you do half of your session, there's a chance you may not do the other half. So it's good to get it in the morning. We actually recommend morning before breakfast has some advantages on mental health.
Right. And that can be the hardest time of the day for depression, seeing that day stretched out ahead.
Yes.
That would give you the pick up and the energize you for the day.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
So which diet do you want? The good one, the better one, or the best? The choice is yours. And whether you have depression or not, why not be strategic about eating to raise your IQ and your EQ? Now, when we come back from the break, we'll have another special exercise session, but first, it's time for the news. We're here at the University of Maryland, and I'm talking to Dr. Hinda Dubin, a psychiatrist. Dr. Dubin, what's new in the realm of therapy for depression? We know about cognitive behavioral therapy, and we've had antidepressants for some time. I guess ECT, you know, electric shock therapy. Anything new out there?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, for the treatment of depression, never give up hope. And that's not just for the patient, that's for the therapist. And that's what's so wonderful about the fact that new technologies are coming out. You know, people have thought about medication, people have thought about therapy. We are now turning to technology. And one of the latest technologies out is transcranial magnetic stimulation.
So that shortened to TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation.
That's right. And TMS will be much easier.
TMS. We'll keep talking about TMS. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, basically, you place an electric magnetic coil to the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex of the brain, and you deliver rapid stimuli of magnetic fields, and it has been shown to improve treatment-resistant depression. Generally, the procedure is very well tolerated. Occasionally, patients complain of either headaches or mild scalp discomfort. One thing that can be a little bit disconcerting is it's very, very loud.
So it can be unpleasant to sort of ordeal, but not too much. What does this paper show about safety and effectiveness of TMS?
So far, TMS is believed to be a highly effective and safe treatment. We need more research, more data, more studies before we can take it any further.
So how many people will have had TMS, do you think?
Well, in one paper that I reviewed, at least 10,000 people had TMS. Clinical trials are continuing at many different sites.
And I guess we're wanting to know, in 2 years' time, what's the outcome for those people?
Right. I think it's not only the immediate relief of the symptoms, but how do people do down the road? Because depression can be a recurrent illness. Mm.
Dr. Dubin, how does TMS work? What influence do magnets have on the brain, on blood flow, oxygenation? What's going on?
That is a wonderful question. Unfortunately, the answer is not really known. And that remains another wonderful area for research, because as we identify pathways, we identify mechanisms of treatment.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you. So like I said in the beginning, when a patient's depressed, never give up hope.
A movement toward daily scripture reading is underway. It's called Revived by His Word. The plan? To read one chapter of the Bible per day. The goal? To direct the attention of participants to the importance of knowing Jesus through His Word.
Yesterday in our exercise segment, we asked you to do two things. Walk for a flat mile, then measure your pulse, and the time it took. Weigh yourself and check your resting pulse before you get up this morning. Now, Coach Parker has done just that, so we're going to practice on him. What did you find when you did your Rockport 1 mile? What was your time and your heart rate?
So my time was 7 minutes, no, 11 minutes, okay, and my heart rate was 150 beats per minute.
All right, so when we're going to have this paper on our website with an equation, and you'll be able to put in your parameters. So once you crunch the numbers, Carl, what did you come up with as your VO2 max?
My VO2 max was 50.
Now, putting that into the chart there, and you can do this yourself. You can put your own numbers into this chart. Get it off our website. That's hopetv.org/gohealthy. That's hopetv.org/gohealthy. When you put that in, what did you find about your fitness level?
So 50 puts me at level 5 for my fitness level training range.
And what does that mean in terms of the intensity at which you can now work?
My intensity level is going to be 75 to 85%.
Right. Now, if you're not fit, you might find that your intensity may be as low as 35%. But the 1 mile test will actually help you work out what intensity you need to train at. And remember, if you don't want to go through the Rockport test, we have got the cheat sheet, and you'll find that at the top of page 2. So what's next, Coach Parker? What do we do now with these numbers?
So now we need to calculate our target heart rate using the Kovonin method.
Right. And so the Kovonin method, people can actually go on the website and just punch in a couple of numbers and not have to calculate it. But let's say, what parameters do we need? Like, do we need that resting pulse
so
rate?
So we need the resting heart pulse rate.
What which was yours?
Mine was, what was my resting heart rate? My resting heart rate was...
I think it was 62.
62, yeah. Yes.
And I beat you. Mine was 58. But not by much.
Okay, thank you.
And men are going to be higher than women, so that's allowed. He's actually beat me overall because he's a guy, so we factor that in. So as you worked that out, you got your resting pulse rate. Walk us through that equation, 220.
So you take 220 minus your age, which will determine your maximum heart rate.
So if I was to work as hard and fast as I could, I could not probably exceed that number.
You probably shouldn't, not safely.
Mm. And then what do we do?
Okay, so once you have that, what you're going to do is you're going to multiply it. That'll give you a reserve. And then you multiply it by the percentage of the intensity level that you're supposed to be working out with, according to the fitness level.
So you can see that this is going to give you your personalized one, your resting heart rate, your fitness level, and then... That works
right
out what your goal is. So your range for training is
mine what? Is 141 to 152. So I should keep my heart rate right in between those two numbers.
Or not go over
that. Or not go over it, yes.
Excellent. So how are you going to work that out? Those are pretty fine numbers.
Okay. Well, the easiest way to do it, because you have to monitor your heart rate, is to use a heart rate monitor.
Mm.
The heart rate monitor is pretty simple, as you can see.
So this you wear on your wrist, obviously.
Right,
what
and this will go on your chest, and it records your heartbeats. So it goes from here and transmits that information to the display on your watch.
So you can just wear your wristwatch, and you'll be, well, show us what you're doing.
Okay. So here we go. So this is my training station, and I'm going to get my heart rate up to 150. Okay, so that's my goal.
Now, some of these machines, you can see they have hand holds that will actually measure your pulse rate as well. But they're not that accurate.
Easy. Yes, nice and easy. So they have two here, okay?
Okay.
So now I've gotten my heart rate up to 150, and now I shouldn't be going over that number, the 152 number. So I can slow myself down to a nice, slow pace in order to recover those heartbeats and bring it down.
So you're going to go really slow and pay back the oxygen debt that you just created by training hard. You do not want to get into an oxygen debt situation.
Right.
So slow it down, let that heart rate come down by 10 to 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went up to 152, you might come down to 120.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're
going
to go for it.
We pick it back up, and we pick up that pace, and we bring it back to the 152 number.
And how long might you keep it up there?
So it depends. We can be talking about 30 seconds to 3 minutes.
So that's not long, actually.
Not long at all. But it feels like a long time when you're pedaling hard.
Right. So you want to try this. Tomorrow, we're going to see what a typical training program looks like when you stay in the zone.
A study of Californian school children found some startling evidence. Children who consumed full-fat dairy products were at a much higher risk of being obese. Alarmingly, the children who consumed the most full-fat dairy products were 99% more likely to be overweight than those who consumed little or none. Choosing low-fat dairy options or non-dairy alternatives like soy or almond milk may go a long way towards resolving childhood obesity. Avoiding full-fat dairy is another ageless advantage.
I want to invite you to friend Go Healthy for Good on Facebook, where we try to post photos, pictures, and health tidbits most days. You can also message me there confidentially with your questions. I promise not to share your personal information here on the show. But please leave your questions wherever you leave them. Now it's time for the questions our viewers have called in or sent to me. One caller asked, I'm taking radioactive iodine for thyroid cancer. Will it result in an increased risk of cancer in later years? Now, I can understand your concern. We are all concerned about the impact of radioactivity on our health. But for you, the immediate concern is your thyroid cancer, which clearly needs treatment and as soon as possible. In the long term, radioactive therapy does carry a small increased risk of cancer to the salivary glands, because they're close by the thyroid, and also of leukemia. Another caller asked, I have sinusitis and I also have high blood pressure. Is it okay to take Advil cold and sinus tablets? Well, Advil is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and therefore it can silently raise your blood pressure even further. So you should avoid it. A more suitable tablet would be acetaminophen. But even better, why not try a hot foot bath and an inhalation and relieve all that congestion from around your sinuses? Kylie asked, I'm a mother of a two-year-old and an eight-month-old. I've recently started a whole food plant-based diet, eliminating all animal-related products. As a breastfeeding mom, I'm not sure that I'm getting enough nutrients for my baby, especially protein. Do you have any recommendations for amounts of protein I should be eating to be sure we are all getting enough? That's a great question. And any other helpful tips would be appreciated. Thanks for your time. Well, Kylie, the answer, bottom line, is 70 to 80 grams of protein a day. And you will find that in many plant-based foods. For example, half a cup of raw tofu has 20 grams of protein. A cup of cooked lentils has 18 grams. And then all the fruits and vegetables have some protein in them. So if you have a good variety of foods, you should get it covered, but especially focus on those legumes and whole grains. Also, just some added tips, be sure to get sufficient vitamin B12 because baby needs what you have each day. Baby can't access your stores as well, so be taking your vitamin B12 every day. Be sure to get enough vitamin D and calcium and omega-3 fats is good for your baby's brain. Now, I love to hear from you, so please keep quizzing me about all the things that are on your mind. Leave your question at 855-400-HEALTHY or text us on 301-960-5144 or post your questions to our Facebook page. Now, before Dr. Nedley shares about the importance of exercise in regards to depression, take a look at what the turning point was for George to find help for his depression.
I just think a lot of my life was in the bottom. I just really never had a lot of self-esteem. I didn't have a lot of self-worth. And, you know, just these things I told myself that I'm really not good or worthy or those types of lies I'm telling myself. And they span, you know, a long time, probably 25, 30 years of my life that this was going on. But it would gradually kind of go downhill and realizing that life just isn't feeling very good and I need to do something about it. And I never knew quite what that was. I always thought somebody else needs to fix themselves and then I would feel better. But for whatever reason, I began to realize I had to do something about it. So as I started searching, I I knew of an individual, a pastor, and I went to him and asked him for some suggestions, and he gave me some different readings to do and, you know, praying, and but he'd mentioned Dr. Nedley in his program, which I'd never heard of before. So they had in their library the 8-week series about depression and a DVD series. So I checked that out from the library. I started going through it, but then another church needed that DVD series, so I couldn't finish going through the program. So at that time, I went on the website and I started learning more about it and about Dr. Nedley's program, and I noticed they had a 10-day recovery program for depression and anxiety. So I hemmed and hawed and thought about it, and I'd go back to the site and look at it a couple different times, and I finally took online, they have a self-analysis, I guess you can do a test for depression. So I took that and it came back. I was just 1 point below severe in depression and anxiety. My emotional intelligence was 3 points below average, which at that time I didn't even know what emotional intelligence was. I had never heard that term. So I then contacted and called Paula, who's the director of the program, and had some questions for her about going to the 10-day program. And at that point I decided, you know, I need to go do this. My parents are both now deceased and I moved away, and I needed to do something, you know.
Dr. Nedley, you mentioned negative ions and being outdoors. Mm-hmm. That makes me think that breathing in those negative ions are the way to apply that medicine.
Exactly.
So tell us about breathing.
Yeah.
How important is that?
It is important, and particularly deep breathing. As we breathe deeply, we actually can get rid of a little more toxins that way. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can breathe 6 times a minute, studies show if you exercise to the point where you're breathing just 6 times a minute, it actually improves mental health, improves oxygenation, etc. The only way to do that is to breathe deeply without getting short of breath. And so it's the deep breathing that produces some of the greatest benefits. And if you can deep breathe outdoors, you know, by an ocean surf or waterfalls or evergreen trees or things where there's negative ions, it produces a wonderful, nice benefit. We actually learn quicker, more efficiently in such an environment like that.
So how often would we need to be in that environment to keep us going? Does that effect wear off after minutes, hours?
No, hours. I mean, what the studies are showing is an hour a day in that type of environment produces the benefit throughout the entire day.
Wow.
So, you know, if you live in a city, go out there. If you live in New York City, get into Central Park and spend an hour of exercising out there and take advantage of those green spaces there. And it can help you throughout the rest of the day and in rather polluted New York City otherwise. But obviously, you know, the longer we're in such an environment, the better it would be. And if we can keep ourselves from breathing polluted air, staying away from where the tobacco smokers are gathered to smoke outside, et cetera, that'll help as well.
So that's good air. There's the beauty around us that's also, and then exercise. So
exactly.
And while we're
sunlight,
out there,
if we're doing it in the daytime, we're getting that sunlight.
Right. So there's a real value in getting stepping out of the gym. And
correct.
With the sunlight, we're getting the vitamin D. So step out of the gym and do that exercise outdoors. Give us a demonstration of how 6 minutes of respirations. You know, if I was to do that at the hospital, they would give me a very high score for pathology.
Yeah, that's true.
So show us.
Normally
how
we say 12 to 16 times a minute is normal breathing. But to breathe 6 times a minute, basically that means you're breathing, you know, once every 10 seconds. And so, which isn't really hard to do. We can actually get down to 3 times a minute and still not get short of breath.
Really?
And there's been studies done on that. 3 times a minute is okay too, as long as you're breathing deep enough to do that. But with the 6 times, you know, you might want to get your little second hand out, you know, and watch it and take that deep breath in. So if you're with me here today, go ahead and let's start breathing.
In.
Kind of hold it in, and then slowly let it out. There we go. We're ready to take another one. Yeah, it would be six times a minute.
So you could even count five in, a pause.
That's right.
Five out,
yeah.
A pause.
Yeah, often it's better to do a little bit slower on the breathe in than it is the breathe out. Mm. So, you know, even if you went six or seven in and then breathe it out quicker, that'd be okay. Or you could even it out too.
Okay. And then remember to breathe with your abdomen rather than just with the top of your lungs.
Right? That's right. Yeah, that's why you want to sit up straight and you want to have that good posture there. And, yeah, if you breathe in with the abdomen, that's utilizing that diaphragm to expand the lungs.
And breathing is often used to manage stress as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a nice thing to do if you're under a lot of stress and you feel a little panicky. Just take a little pause and take three of those deep breaths. Mm. And often your anxiety levels will go down just after 30 seconds of those three breaths.
Wow. That's so simple. And tell us, there's something that the people who come through the depression, the residential depression program, they experience water. How
yes.
important is drinking water for the brain?
Drinking water is very important. And so they're drinking at least 8 glasses a day because they're exercising. You know, in Mackenzie's case, she would have been out there with 12 glasses of water per day, a minimum. And water helps executive functions. It does help the frontal lobe. It helps us to think more efficiently, more quickly. Mm-hmm. So.
And so by expanding our circulation with that water, I guess we're getting more blood to the brain.
Exactly, yes.
And brain is a significant component of the brain matrix is fluid, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. That's how our neurotransmitters get around.
Mm-hmm. And now they also experience water therapy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, the hydrotherapy. This is a portion that actually our patients call it natural shockwave treatments. one of the treatments for depression in the traditional realm is shock treatments where they actually induce seizures in patients. We've had many of our patients go through that type of treatment and still end up with depression and still come to our program. And we've had those that have been referred for shockwave treatments and instead chosen our program. Wow. And the hydrotherapy is contrast baths where they're in heat alternating with cold. Mm. They do three different cycles and we haven't timed, et cetera. But it's quite an exercise and it does improve brain circulation. And it's amazing how quickly the brain can start to be jump-started. That's why our program has been able to be shortened from 19 days as what we used to do it before we were really giving hydro the push.
Right.
Hydro was more of an optional part that we may have prescribed for some individuals at first.
Yes.
But now, because we've recognized its importance in those people, we utilize it in just about everybody that comes to our program.
We're going to come back to this. Thank you. Exercise is great for endorphins, serotonin, melatonin, noradrenaline, and dopamine. There's no medication that can match that. We still have lots to cover on today's show with Dr. Nedley, but before we take a break, it's Bon Appetit. Onions are the third most consumed vegetable in the United States. They are so versatile, great for breakfast, casseroles, barbecues, and even holiday dinners. They give flavour, colour and texture to a wide variety of dishes and cuisines. 87% of the United States onion crop are yellow. They're a great reliable standby for cooking almost anything. 8% of the crops are red onions, and with their wonderful flavour and colour, it's a good choice for roasting or for fresh. White onions make up just 5% of the US onion crop, and they're used in salads, white sauces, and they're the traditional onion for classical Mexican cuisine. And because they're one of the top 10 antioxidant veggies, be sure to have some most days. Bon Appetit!
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
Welcome back. Remember, call us with your health question at 855-400-HEALTHY. In a moment, we go to Loma Linda, California, to learn more on treating depression from Dr. Nedley. But first, find out what encouraged Marcia to seek help.
When I got there, I was really sad and felt like a failure, really. And so the 10-day program helped me realize that I wasn't like a complete sinner abandoned by God. He cares about us. He forgives our mistakes. And through study of the Bible, through the whole program, the nutrition, because being up so upset, I hadn't been eating enough. I didn't have like this long-term depression. Maybe it was easier for me to accept all the program. I'll tell you what the hardest part was. They do a hydrotherapy treatment where you get into nice warm water, a nice warm jacuzzi for 3 minutes, but it felt great. But then you have to get into cold water, and it is so hard to get into that cold water. You can't believe it. And so that was hard but we started encouraging each other with it and singing songs and making it work. And so we did it. And it does make you feel pretty good. I think because I already basically had good health habits, the thing that changed the most was how I think. And to make sure that I'm not exaggerating the negative parts of situations, and to learn the positive, think more positively. I think that's probably the biggest thing, and it makes a huge difference in everything if you're thinking about the truth in situations instead of getting all caught up with it in the what-ifs or the whys and the bad parts, and just learning to think more positive thoughts and get truth from the Bible that just really help. And so this past year has been a big growing experience for my husband and I, and it's amazing what joy God can give you even though you're going through trial.
The joy of the Lord can certainly be our strength, even when we feel like mourning, just like the story in the Bible in Nehemiah 8. Now let's go to Loma Linda in California and find some more ways to combat depression from Dr. Nedley. We were just talking about your residential program's electric shock therapy.
Yes, yes.
Tell us a little bit more about the hydrotherapy.
Well, as we get warm or heat into the system through the skin, it does dilate the blood vessels. It allows a little more circulation, has a tendency to lower the blood pressure a little bit because of the more dilated vessels it's going through. Mm. And then when we put the cold in, we don't put it for very long. It's enough to actually constrict the skin vessels,
right?
But it actually helps to pump more circulation through the brain as a result of that vasoconstriction alternating with vasodilatation.
So the person stands in the shower.
That would be one way of doing it.
Or how do you apply the?
No, in our program, they're actually in a hot tub.
Oh, okay. So they're in a hot tub.
Yes.
And then how do you apply the cold? Suddenly?
Well, we apply the cold because there's also a cold tub.
Okay, so they switch from one to the other.
They switch from one to the other, yeah. And so there's hydrotherapists that are there to keep the temperatures right, et cetera. But, you know, actually there's some ice on that cold bath. So we're keeping it, you know, Seattle, Washington, ocean temperature, cold. But again, not for very long.
Right.
So and then they go back into the heat again.
So how long in the hot?
In the hot, about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And in the cold?
In the cold, about 30 seconds, although we enlarge it to about 1 minute near the end. Mm. And so we can do a little longer treatments as we progress. But it's pretty amazing, the effect of that. Mm. And of course, sometimes patients, we have to combine it with what we call cognitive behavioral therapy, because a lot of patients at first are very frightened about this process of getting into cold.
Ice cold water.
Yeah, and of course they can even, scream, et cetera.
But that's allowed, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, it's allowed. But at the same time, it helps them to, we give them tools on how they can manage those emotions even in that setting. And if they can manage it, if they're dumped into a cold ice bath, think about how they can manage it when their boss tells them off and they didn't like it as well. So it's actually some of the same techniques.
So they get two types of therapy at the same
time. They get two types of therapy at the same time, yeah.
So they'll go back and forth three cycles.
Three cycles, yes.
So that won't take very long then, only about 10 minutes.
Only about 10 minutes, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in and out in 10 minutes.
All right. And what do you see after that therapy? Do you see a change in
Yes. We see a significant benefit. Often, almost immediately, although some people with severe and prolonged depression, it may take 3 days before we notice a difference.
Really?
But that we quick? Will. It will happen very quickly. Yeah. We had one individual who had depression and also had schizophrenia. And after that hydrotherapy, his brain would normalize for a while.
Wow.
In his, he was calling his father on the phone, and his father was saying, first time I had a normal conversation with him and since I can remember. Mm. And it was just amazing. And he even noticed a difference as well. Wow, this is doing something to me. So it can have some powerful brain chemistry changing effects as well as brain circulation.
Hmm. And are you keeping data? Are you...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yes. We
this
are.
Is amazing.
We have lots of data accumulated now, and we're getting ready to publish our data in a peer-reviewed journal.
Exciting. I'm dying to hear about where that comes out.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. Our time is up, and it's just been wonderful to hear about these things. But we're going to visit some of the other modalities that you're using in the residential program and maybe talk about your community program as well.
Great.
If you or your loved one has depression, I hope you're finding answers and, more importantly, finding solutions. Analyze your diet. Is your brain getting the best food? How about avoiding harmful foods? And intermittent exercise outdoors every day? Practice breathing properly. It's very important for many aspects of good health. You can even try the shock hydrotherapy in the shower. Alternate hot with a short cold shower and go back and forth. Tomorrow we look at more therapies for depression and check in on George, Marsha, Joseph and Mackenzie at the WEMAR program in California. Thanks for watching Go Health for Good. I'll see you tomorrow.